Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. We're going to talk some NASCAR news. And of course, we knew that this week's podcast would go into Homestead and the NASCAR championship, the other series championships. But we've got breaking news today. And actually, I guess we know about it today. We'll get more details on this tomorrow. But Jimmy Johnson announcing that 2020 will be his last as a full-time driver in NASCAR. Rod, take us into this. This is huge news in NASCAR.
Yeah, it's huge news. It's something that I've had a feeling for at least the last year that just something wasn't right in NASCAR world for Jimmy Johnson, so to speak. I mean, Jimmy Johnson's been on probably one of the longest losing streaks. He's not won a race in, gosh, I mean, it's up there now what he hasn't won. Going back even to, I think even to the last season, not this past season, but the year before. But the thing is, what he's run into is he had a change in crew chiefs. Kat Kanous moved over to William Byron this past year, and it has definitely proven to be a big plus for William Byron, but things never quite caught on at Hendrick Motorsports for Jimmy Johnson and the crew chief that they had there. They even made some changes there, too, also to kind of help out. But some would say that Jimmy Johnson probably has, quote-unquote, to some degree or another, outlived his usefulness, so to speak, while he's been in the car. And I kind of disagree with that. I just think it's a part of the changing landscape of NASCAR, and Jimmy Johnson has kind of seen it through the looking glass, so to speak, and he's now just looking at it and saying, maybe it's time. I think it's time, and so he's going to go out with 1 year. He'll go for the 2020 season. He's also leaving at a very pivotal point. He's going to leave at a point where he still is able to be in command, so to speak, of what the future holds. Because what the future holds for NASCAR in 2021 will be the introduction of this next-generation car, this new car that they're going to have out beginning in 2021. And then there's the realignments and so to speak, of everything else. So there's going to be some big changes on the horizon coming up in 2021. I think he's getting out at just the proper time. It probably gives Hendrick a chance to kind of reassess their motor program, so to speak, or their motorsport program. And Jimmy Johnson wants to go out a winner. He's already got the hashtag chasing eight. So he's hoping for big things this coming year in 2020. I think he'll pull off a win. I don't know where he stands on the chance of a championship, but I think he'll pull off some wins probably in 2020 because he's pretty much commanded a lot of the tracks around the circuit for years, and it's just unfortunate that he's not going out, I guess, on the best of terms in one way, but he wants to command those terms, so to speak, as he gets ready to drive off into the sunset.
Last win was in June of 2017 in Dover. He won three races in 2017. He was coming off a 2016 championship. This is just 2019. This seems kind of sudden in that sense. But yeah, it's been a while. I mean, June 4th of 2017 is an eternity ago in NASCAR with all the races that are run. I thought I'd ask you this as a follow-up, Rod. An early retirement, if you want to say, I'll say it that way, for Jimmy Johnson. We saw Dale Earnhardt Jr. retire at a young age. Of course, Jeff Gordon retiring at a young age. You know, it used to be a generation ago, you almost had to just pry these guys out of the car. The Richard Petties of the world, I mean, they raced and raced and raced. And so what is it? I mean, is it, maybe the money, the extra fame, the extra attention that comes with all the fame that we have now, maybe that a generation ago wasn't maybe quite the same? I mean, what do you think the factors are as to, these top guys retiring in their early to mid-40s, but whereas a generation ago, guys raced until they couldn't do anything else anymore?
Well, I think it's a number of factors, and I think you hit on a couple of them right there. Let's talk about them and just kind of put them all in perspective, so to speak. When Richard Petty and some of these other drivers were racing the circuit, they weren't demanded, or I guess they weren't made demands, so to speak, from some of the sponsors like they are today. When you put Richard Petty's name out there and you put STP out there, it was immediate association, and Richard Petty was one of these drivers that stayed until the very last autograph was possibly to be signed. He loved the crowd. He was there for the fans. He drove but he was there for the fans. And a lot of people might say, well, Richard Petty was not that good of a driver. Hey, he won 200 races, you know, and I know they've made a big deal about Kyle Busch winning 200 total races, but the landscape has totally changed from what it was back in the late 80s into the 90s when NASCAR really started picking up their pace, so to speak. I mean, you had some drivers at one point or another. Buddy Baker was one of them. Buddy Baker was racing well into the early 80s, you know, at his age and everything, and probably should have stepped out of a car a long time ago, but it was the thrill of enjoying it. And now you've got these guys with families, too. I mean, Jimmy Johnson has his wife, Chandra. He's got his kids. Jeff Gordon the same way. Dale Earnhardt, for example, same thing with his wife, Amy, and his daughter. Now, you've got these families, and they're wanting to get back to a time when there's a life that's a little bit more simpler. I'm wondering how long it's going to be before Kevin Harvick decides to step away from the sport. And then you've got Kyle Busch. I mean, Kyle Busch would like nothing more than to have 8 championships and surpass everybody. But the sponsorship responsibilities have changed. They require you to be at more things, more events, be there, showing yourself off just to get the name of the car out there and just to get your name out there because they're attached to you. That's part of it. I think the age factor coming into it, it used to be you drove a car for what you had. And a car back in the 80s, you know, even in the late 80s, was pretty simple. Now these cars are a lot more complicated than what they used to be. And for an older driver to start fitting in, so to speak, you know, it's kind of on that little borderline. How are they going to go? The younger drivers seem to be adapting really well to them. The older drivers, they're the ones that's going to have some trouble with different things. So say, for example, power steering as opposed to manual steering is the old days. You'd be handling a Hulk where these guys, if they've got some form of power steering in a car, they could overdo it before it's over with. So there's a lot of different factors in this whole thing. And I think that the age thing is part of it. We're starting to see this stronger youth movement come up in NASCAR, especially with your Tyler Reddicks. You've got your Cole Custers. You've got people like that that's really right on the fringe right now of making it big into the NASCAR scene, and they are going to be doing that starting next year, those two drivers especially. And you've got that youth movement in there too. And I think what used to be of getting out of the car in your 50s or maybe, you know, 55 or something like that, what would be for me is now moved back at least to where about 35 or 40. You got to get out of the car by that time because things are changing so fast in the sport. And it's going at a very head-spinning rate as far as I'm concerned.
Last question on Jimmy Johnson. So with Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., we both know that they have made the transition to the announcing booth. Both very successful with that, it seems, to this stage, early in their retirement careers. Do you foresee perhaps a similar move for Jimmy Johnson? Does he maybe go into trying to start a team or buy into a team? Or does he just ride off in the sunset? What are your thoughts and what are you hearing maybe about Jimmy Johnson's future after 2020?
A lot of things, I guess what I'm hearing, a lot of things are up in the air. Jimmy Johnson is very articulate, very good broadcaster when he has been in the guest appearances for Fox and working some of the Xfinity races that they've had during the season. But, you know, I don't know if he's really content to being in that. He might be based upon what Jeff Gordon maybe has talked to him and maybe what Dale Earnhardt Jr., the success that he's had. That's going to remain to be seen. Will I see him start a car team by chance? Could be possible. He might even focus on putting one of his kids, if they've got some interest in the in driving, at least one of the girls or something of that nature, and putting them in a car if they're interested in it. I'm sure he'll go all out. But right now, the way things look, he'll be riding off into the sunset. We'll kind of be undecided, you know. Our big question mark right now is just like another driver who got out of the sport here several years ago, kind of unexpectedly, and that's Carl Edwards. You don't hear a whole lot about Carl Edwards anymore. Carl Edwards is not on the racing circuit. You know, he's not in the broadcast booth. He was good for the broadcast booth, knew what he was talking about. But I think for Carl Edwards, he's just content right now to kind of living life. And I think Jimmy Johnson will probably go that route too, unless we see something change. Who knows? Jimmy Johnson may ride truthfully. He may get an IndyCar shot to ride. And what I'm saying by that, he may try to race Indianapolis for once, maybe twice in his life, considering now Roger Penske has ownership of Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the IndyCar series. He may try to go and try to get in the sport and see if there's somebody that may be interested in him, putting him in a Sunday deal only where he could race the 500. Who knows? He can do anything he wants to at this point.
Great, great topic there, talking about Jimmy Johnson. So we'll have that official word, I guess, press conference tomorrow. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday. So now let's go back where we were going to start our podcast this week with Homestead and wrapping things up from there. Kyle Busch wins his second championship. Martin Truex Jr. second at Homestead. Harvick was fourth, and Denny Hamlin was fighting the last several laps just to get back on the lead lap. Kept hoping, as did Truex Jr., as did Harvick, that there may be one more caution flag to allow them a chance for a restart, maybe a chance to catch Busch. Busch had a great car. He ran it well. He was well out ahead the last, say, 30 laps or so. So he's able to kind of ease into the win at Homestead and thus the championship. I've done a lot setting this up here. Talk about the championship race and what the key factors were.
Well, I think one big question that some people ask after this race this past weekend, I've heard some people say this was a boring race. This was not exactly the best race in the world that they could have possibly had, but it was still exciting. Nonetheless, you had four drivers there in that top four, championship four, that one way or another, things could be decided by crossing that finish line. And unfortunately for Denny Hamlin, he didn't cross the finish line except for there at the end. And, you know, he got burned. They made a stop, or they made a decision that ended up burning them before it was over with. And it cost them a chance of getting back into it. Like you said, trying to get a lap back and trying to get back on that lead lap. But, you know, you had Martin Truex. Martin Truex ran solid. I figured the Hendrick car, the Joe Gibbs cars were going to run smooth this weekend whatsoever. I mean, they were ready for this. And then Kyle Busch said also that the Joe Gibbs Toyota that he was driving, they were ready for this weekend. Kevin Harvick, on the other hand, Harvick was like, we just didn't have enough. We just didn't have enough to get there to where we needed to be. But it's an impressive thing, though. Even though Denny Hamlin didn't win the championship, it still goes and shows the strength and at least the great potential. And, I mean, they've had potential, and they demonstrated it over the years, even by switching car makers. But Joe Gibbs has demonstrated year in and year out that they are a contender each and every week when they go out to the track. And Joe Gibbs, it's just making Joe Gibbs a legend. Whereas a lot of people may have thought Hendrick at one time, being a legend, the Petties, you know, Petty Enterprises being a legend at one time or another, the Wood Brothers, Joe Gibbs is going to be considered in that sentence or a couple of sentences when they start putting these afterthoughts about NASCAR and these dominant teams throughout the years. Joe Gibbs is going to be mentioned in that. But, you know, you really have to talk about not only Kyle Busch winning this race and picking up his second championship for Joe Gibbs Racing, but, you know, an emotional one for Denny Hamlin. They were trying to get that one for J.D. Gibbs in the memory of Joe Gibbs' son who passed away. And, of course, they won the Daytona race this past year, and they dedicated that to J.D. But here's the other thing. It was impressive this weekend that you had three drivers in three different series that ended up having a never-before-seen achievement. Kyle Busch winning his second. Then you also had Tyler Reddick in the Xfinity series driving for Richard Childress. He picked up his second, actually, in a back-to-back championship in the Xfinity series. And then Matt Crafton picked up one in the Gander Mountain truck series. So it was really an impressive thing for NASCAR all the way around to have these guys winning their second championships and winning them on the same weekend, you know, and some of them winning them back-to-back. I think it was a big deal for them. But, you know, for the rest of the drivers, I think some of them were like, let's cut bait and run and get ready for 2020 and get the season going with this, because there's a lot of talk about who is going to be driving for who next year. And a lot of people looking at Matt DiBenedetto driving for the Wood Brothers and where some of these drivers are being shuffled around, it's going to be interesting for next year. I think they were content to just let these four race it, see what they could do and who was going to come out on top. And we found out we got the answer on that one. But now 2020 is going to change some things too. And I'll tell you another thing that came out of this entire weekend and stuff at Homestead. Here's an interesting thing, Chris, that's going to be brought to light. It kind of goes back to the Jimmy Johnson thing we talked about here a little bit earlier. I wonder what kind of big changes are coming for NASCAR with this next generation car, because Steve O'Donnell hinted at some way or another that these cars might even introduce, by the time that they come out in 2021 or 2022, that they might have hybrid technology in them. So if they've got hybrid technology, you're going to have a car that's going to be partially electric, if that's the case, and partially run on gas. What does that do for some of these older, you know, drivers that's been out there on the circuit? These guys, they're going to have to relearn all these things over again, where a driver used to know their car so well. So there were a lot of things that happened this weekend down at Homestead. Kyle Busch, Matt Crafton, and then also Tyler Reddick winning the championships. That was just the tip of the iceberg as far as I'm concerned.
You know, you said earlier about the race being a little boring. I kind of thought the same thing. A race has a life of its own, just like a baseball game does or anything else has a life of its own. You can't predict what it's going to be. And I'm sure it's an odd thing to say. Like, if you're a Kyle Busch fan, it was probably delightfully boring because that means your guy won and there was no drama. But the playoffs this year were so exciting. It was kind of anticlimactic. Also, I wanted to get your thoughts. A lot of discussion in the last half hour or so of the broadcast, because there wasn't, I guess, a lot of action on the track, about Kyle Busch. His first championship was back in 2015, and folks might have forgotten by now. I kind of had forgotten. But Busch, in his pre-race interviews with NBC, made it clear that he felt like there was a bit of a chip on his shoulder from 2015, because that was the year, you know, he got injured in Daytona, had to get the special waiver to get back and be able to qualify for the playoffs. He wins the championship, but he made it clear that he felt like, you know, there are people out there who don't treat that 2015 championship with legitimacy, and so he felt like he kind of had to win the second one to kind of validate the first one. I didn't know that he carried that with him. Was that something that had been talked about before, or did that catch you by surprise when you heard that talked on the broadcast?
Well, no, it didn't really catch me by surprise, because he's had to prove himself to the fans, because, like you said, you know, he goes and breaks his leg while he's at Daytona in that Daytona 500 race, and then he sets out for, gosh, I forget how many number of races through the early part of the season, but gets that waiver and is allowed to get back into it, you know, where they are allowed him to be able to come back in, and then, before it's over with, he's racing for the championship. But now also, remember, this was at a point system that is far different than what it is today. So we've got a point system back in that time period that was, you know, a little bit, I guess, less restrictive, so to speak. And Kyle Busch had the opportunity, and he's a great driver, too. I'm not going to deny it. He's a great driver. He was able to prove himself on the track and be able to go and get to the front, win a championship in that year. But now when we come to this time around, yeah, I can see him having a chip on his shoulder, because there were some people that were out there that were, you know, very questioning the whole fact about whether or not he had a legitimate shot at the championship. Did NASCAR just hand it to him, so to speak? No, NASCAR didn't hand it to him, but he did. So, well, in some way, he did kind of take advantage of certain benefits that were sent his way, provided for Joe Gibbs Racing, and he got into that championship. And some people might even question that today, of whether or not that was a legitimate championship. Same way that somebody might question the championship of, say, a NFL strike season and the Washington Redskins or something, and going in and playing with those players and then still winning the Super Bowl championship. You know, these guys kind of come back, and I can see Kyle Busch saying that in this way of saying, hey, you know, I feel like I've got a point to prove with this. And I think that's what he did. But, you know, he still leaves that question for some people. How many races has he been quiet? I mean, he had been quiet here for a number of, 21 races? I think going back 21 races, he had won some races up to that point, had been dominant, but he still was hanging around at the front, and the point system allowed him to do that. And then another thing that was brought up, too, and I think it'll be another chip on him, maybe his shoulder this time around, was his quote that he said right before we went into the playoffs, I've got some padding. I've got some insurance on this. So if I, you know, I've got to drive consistently here toward the end if I'm going to be at the championship four. Well, that's essentially what he did. He had those insurance policy points, and then that's how he got himself into it. And then he just was like a snake, so to speak. He struck when he needed to, and that's what he did at Homestead.
So one last bit of sort of off-track news involving Homestead, and then we'll wrap things up for the podcast. But it's interesting. We've been talking about Joe Gibbs, a person who made his name in sports in a different sport than NASCAR at the beginning. He was the Redskins coach, won Super Bowls, Hall of Fame coach with Washington Redskins in the NFL before becoming the Joe Gibbs of Joe Gibbs Racing. And now he's far eclipsed what he did in the NFL. As great as his career was there, he's far eclipsed that in NASCAR. Now the person that I'm getting ready to talk about, who supported Denny Hamlin this past weekend, he's a big Denny Hamlin fan, as it turns out. Michael Jordan was there at the Homestead track to back Denny Hamlin. Take us into this story. A lot of interesting details here.
Well, you know, I really didn't know this. I did not know. I knew that Michael Jordan and his marketing wing that he has that works out with Nike and everything, they produce the fire suits and some of the other things for NASCAR. And Denny Hamlin has known him, so to speak, for, you know, quite a while. But the interesting thing that came out of this whole thing is Michael Jordan is a huge NASCAR fan. And I'm like, who would have thunk it? I would have thought, you know, I was thinking the whole time, well, Michael Jordan's probably got some kind of some love for NBA basketball. And, of course, I guess he has that partial ownership with the Charlotte Hornets now and everything as to what he really works with. But it kind of makes you wonder, you know, is Michael Jordan possibly poised to maybe step into NASCAR before it's over with and say, hey, I'd like to maybe, you know, get in with a team or something. Brad Daugherty did it, you know, of course, with he played at North Carolina and everything, and he's involved with one of the race teams right now, JTG. So, you know, but he said he's such a big fan. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had a chance to interview him. I think Dale Jr. was a little bit surprised. He did not know to what extent Michael Jordan was talking about this sport. And, you know, that's a kind of a plus, too, for some people. If they're looking at it from the fan perspective, hey, you've got the NBA's big star. We're not talking LeBron James, but the one that was there before LeBron James of Michael Jordan enjoying motorsports and enjoying NASCAR. I think it's great. I think it was just absolutely a big shot in the arm for NASCAR this past weekend for him to show up there at the racetrack down at Homestead. And you know who else showed up at the racetrack? It kind of surprised me too, and walked into the trailer and gave a pep talk, even though the team didn't do that well this weekend. Was Ray Lewis, formerly with the Baltimore Ravens. He was there at the track, loves NASCAR, went and gave a pep talk to Bubba Wallace's team and the Richard Petty team, and he was there enjoying every minute of it. So that was kind of a surprise. You had the world of the NFL and the NBA kind of coming in on NASCAR this past weekend, but that big news was definitely what floored me was Michael Jordan is almost to the point of a fanatical fan when it comes to NASCAR.
You know, it makes a lot of sense to me. I go down to Charlotte 3, 4, 5 times a year for various things involving ACC sports. I'm a college basketball writer, college football writer, and Charlotte's the hub of the ACC. And every time you drive down, you drive back. It makes you and knowing that, you know, I do a NASCAR podcast with you. It kind of hits home that when you go down 85, you're in NASCAR country. When you go to Charlotte, when you leave Charlotte, you're driving past, you know, so much of NASCAR history, NASCAR present when you're there. And so it would make sense that, you know, NASCAR drivers might be Charlotte Hornets fans. They live, you know, I'm sure a lot of folks live in the area there and that kind of thing. And also, when you sent me the note about Michael Jordan being a fan of NASCAR, it made me start thinking, you know, he played with Brad Daugherty for 2 years at UNC because Jordan left school as a junior, but Daugherty was only a year behind him. So, You know, it wouldn't surprise me. And I have to admit, I didn't know that he was a NASCAR fan. But, you know, Jordan, you know, he's the controlling owner of the Charlotte Hornets, and he's visible. He sits courtside at games, still very active with, you know, the NBA. It would not surprise me, though, now knowing that he's a NASCAR fan and knowing his ties to Brad Daugherty, man, you know, there'd be weirder things than seeing Michael Jordan involved in NASCAR. That'd be pretty cool to see, given, you know, his stature in the NBA and, you know, the kind of cachet he could bring. That'd be interesting to see how that might play out.
Yeah, it would be, and I've got to say this. Michael Jordan has got money. Michael Jordan has got resources.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, when you drop the name Michael Jordan, there will be people that will line up and probably go and say to him, hey, look, you need some money in here for a NASCAR team? Done. Do you need a sponsor, some kind of big-time sponsor? Done. I mean, it could happen. We don't know where it's going to happen yet. It's still kind of early to tell. Who knows? Hey, this Michael Jordan thing could end up, who knows, Jimmy Johnson may get involved before it's over with. NASCAR, I hate to put it in this kind of terms, but NASCAR, give or take, week in and week out, NASCAR has strange bedfellows. We just don't know what's going to happen, and who would have thought years ago that Joe Gibbs was going to get involved in the NASCAR? He had always said he loved racing cars, he loved drag racing. You know, he even had a drag racing team at one time in the NHRA, had a team over there, but then solely focused on NASCAR. Who would have thought that at one time or another? Jerry Glanville, former coach of the Houston Oilers, the Atlanta Falcons, he had some ties to having a truck series team. So, I mean, anything is possible right now.
Yeah, the appeal is much wider than just the gearhead. It's all over, and that's interesting to see. So cool story there. Well, we've wrapped up Homestead. We've got Jimmy Johnson news covered here. So fun podcast, and we'll figure out, Rod. We'll get back together. We'll talk some more NASCAR. It's silly season now, so we've got to figure out where all the guys are going, what teams are going to have some new drivers. You know, and the news is just starting there. So we have a few weeks until we start thinking about Daytona for next year. But in the meantime, thanks, Rod, for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.